Real briefly, I want to apologize. I didn't introduce myself at the beginning of the service, and I normally would do that. My name is Stuart Mizell. I am pastor here, and it's great to see all of you here, both members and new folks who are joining us, and folks who are joining us online. Thank you for doing that. We are in a series on prayer, as Paul just prayed, and before I get into the passages for this week, I want to ask basically what I asked last week. How did it go? 2 weeks ago, I asked you guys to, as a way of application for the sermon, to pray every day about something that's going on in your life, whatever it might be. And then last week, I encouraged us to actively and consciously seek to pray in the name of Jesus. In other words, instead of just giving God our grocery list of what we want, praying, what is it that you want, Jesus? And let me pray about that. How did it go? If it didn't go well, you can have another week to try again. That's the beauty of God's grace to us in Christ, that when we fail, we can always come back and say, I messed up, forgive me, cleanse me, and empower me for more. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. So, if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, we have three passages, so it might be a little hard for you to flip back and forth between these three, so you can look at it on the screen, but if not, if you'd rather read it from your Bible, that's fine. The first passage is from Ephesians chapter 6. This is Paul the Apostle writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Ephesus. And it's in kind of a middle of a section where we might call it spiritual warfare, like how to get ready for the battle that happens in the unseen realm. And in that context, he writes these words. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Our second passage comes from the very short book near the end of the Bible entitled Jude. And Jude doesn't have chapters, it just has verses. It's that short. So we're going to be reading verses 20 and 21. And this is what Jude writes. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And then our final passage for today comes from Romans 8, verses 26 through 27. Again, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And Romans 8 is a beautiful chapter. It is so full of goodness that it's a passage I come to often. And in that passage, Paul writes in verses 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is God's word for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and Holy Spirit, will you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and hearts that will receive what you are speaking to your church today through your word. Would you make the soil of our heart ready for the seed of the word to actually grow and produce fruit that will honor you. It will be good for us as a church, and it will be good for the community around us. And Jesus, because you are the one we really need to hear, will you preach to us today and cause us to abide in you and you in us, that we will produce that fruit, fruit that will last, fruit for your glory. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and for your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one true God. Amen. There's this story of a spy who goes to a foreign country, and while he's there, he's captured, and then he's sentenced to death. Now, the general of the army of this particular nation had a very strange custom. The custom was he would give condemned criminals a choice. He would say to them, on one hand, you can be executed by firing squad. And you all know what a firing squad is. It's where they stand a person up and they have a whole line of people with guns, and then they shoot at you and you die. Okay, that's option A. Or, on the other hand, you could choose to face what is behind this massive, ominous-looking black door. It's your choice. Spy was offered that choice. Death by firing squad, or whatever lay behind that mysterious black door. And after considering it for a while, he decided, I'll go by firing squad. After the execution was over, an aide of the general asked about the custom because he was new. And the general said, no one ever really chooses the black door. They always prefer what is known to what is unknown. The definitive versus the undefined. People are afraid of the mysterious. And so the aide asked, well, what is behind the black door? And the general said, freedom. They could get off scot-free, but no one ever chooses it. When I think about that story, it reminds me of how we are often, right? We can face all kinds of things, but the unknown, the mysterious, those things that we can't really quantify or qualify, those things that we can't really focus on, they are scary to us. That's why when we're kids, and sometimes when we're adults, we're afraid of the dark, because we can't see what's out there, right? Some of you may be familiar with the name H.P. Lovecraft. This is probably the first time H.P. Lovecraft is ever quoted in a sermon. But H.P. Lovecraft wrote horror stories, and he said the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. And if you've ever read one of his stories, you know he taps into that. Because all of his stories have this weird, strange, unknown, mysterious thing going on. But at the same time, even though we're afraid of the mysterious and the unknown, as Albert Einstein actually once said, the most beautiful thing we can experience is actually the mysterious. And that brings us to our passages today. Because when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, people are like, ooh, that's mysterious. You know, God is kind of mysterious in general. Jesus, at least, is a, you know, God in the flesh, but there's a human nature there. We can understand that. The Bible is a book. We can look at a book and we can feel the book and we can read the book and we can hear the book being read. But the Holy Spirit? And then when we start talking about, as we're going to talk about today, praying in the Spirit, oh, that sounds, whoa, what is going on? Are we becoming one of those charismatic churches where people are starting to, you know, jump pews and run the aisles and start dancing and who knows what? Oh my goodness, watch out. But there is something really beautiful about the mysterious nature of the Holy Spirit. And if we can just get over that fear, get over the fear of what might happen if the Holy Spirit really is at work in us, which He is, by the way, maybe we will experience something wondrous and beautiful and amazing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And as we've been talking about what God calls us to do when we're praying today, we're going to look at the fact that God calls us to pray in the Spirit. God calls us to this, church. This is not something that's crazy, something for those Pentecostal churches to do. No, this is something that we, all Christians, are to do. We are called to pray in the Spirit. How do I know that? It's right there in the Scriptures. From Ephesians, Paul writes, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then he says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication." And then in the book of Jude, we see it also. "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." There are two passages here that specifically say we are to pray in the Spirit. And yes, I understand praying in the Spirit sounds mysterious and otherworldly and something magical and mystical. It sounds like something that only super spiritual people do. You know, those who have transcended the mundane experience of us mere mortals, and, you know, they should go up on a mountain and people climb up to ask them for wisdom and that kind of person. You know, that kind of person, right? But here's the truth that we all need to hear. Are you ready? If we are in Christ, we have everything we need in order to pray this way. It's not some esoteric thing that only certain Christians can do. It's not some super spiritual thing. No, if we are in Christ, we have everything we need in order to pray this way. God has commanded it, and He's also given us what we need in order to do it. How do I know that? Well, it's right here in the Scripture. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. We didn't read this earlier, but it is a passage that we come back to over and over again in this church because we need to hear these words. Peter is writing and he says that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. I want to stop the reading there. All things, not some things, not even most things. God has given us all things. He's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. So I ask you, does praying in the Spirit pertain to life and godliness? Does it? If it does, then God has given us everything we need in order to pray this way. Even if it seems mysterious to us. God tells us, as his children, we have everything we need in order to pray in the Spirit. And now this is going to sound elementary. You're going to think, wait a second, Stuart, that's like, you know, kindergarten level. But what do we need in order to pray in the Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. It's so simple, we might all think above it. We might try to say, oh, it's got to be this and this and this. No, what we need to pray in the Spirit is the Spirit. And here's the good news. The Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in all those who are united to Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in all those who are united to Christ. Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead to save sinners like yourself? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you were a sinner and that Jesus did all of this stuff for you, that you would be saved? Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus is your only hope of having true, abundant life, and that not only will you have that life that will never end, but it is a life that is more wonderful and more beautiful and more marvelous than any of us can even imagine? Do you believe that? If you do, then my friends, I want you to hear this. The Scriptures say, not Stuart, the Scriptures say the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Take a look at the following passages. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple? You are. Those of you who believe, you are. And God's Spirit dwells in you? Don't you know that? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Or even think about Romans 8:9. And this is a passage again, Romans 8. I love coming to this passage. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, that is, you're not in a sinful state, but you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. All right? So if you call yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus, and you really do believe that Jesus saves you from your sin, guess what? You have the Spirit. In fact, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus. That's what this passage says. And these passages, I will say, it has puzzled me for a long time why the church, why Christians pray for the Holy Spirit to come into their lives. It puzzles me. Why do we do that? I get saying, Holy Spirit, we need you to fall down on this nation as a whole so that people come to faith, so that people are changed from the inside out. I get that. But to pray, Holy Spirit, will you come to me? Isn't the Holy Spirit already residing in you if you're a Christian, if you belong to Jesus? So instead of praying that He would come, we pray that He would fill us. That's what the Scriptures actually tell us. That the Holy Spirit would fill us from the inside out so that we overflow with who He is. But we don't pray that He would come into our lives because He's already there. Right? Now, I'm not saying that the Spirit does this, but I know that I get really annoyed when somebody asks me to do something and I'm already doing it. Anybody with me? Can I get an amen on that? You know, like if you are, you know, you're already unloading the dishwasher and, you know, your spouse says, honey, can you unload the dishwasher? And you're already doing it. Is your response normally, yeah, I'm already doing it? Does it sound like that? Or does it sound, I'm doing it, okay? I've already started. Get off my case. Again, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is like that. I'm like that, which is why I need the Holy Spirit. But it makes no sense for us to ask the Holy Spirit to do something that He's already doing, to be somewhere that He already is. What makes more sense for us is to do what the Scriptures actually call us to do, yes, to pray that the Spirit would fill us, but to pray in the Spirit, as the Scriptures tell us to do. He's given us everything we need in order to pray this way, because He's given us the Spirit. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that something that you go, wait a second, God calls me to pray in the Spirit, and then He gives me the Spirit? That makes it not easy, but a whole lot easier than it would have been had we not had the Spirit. So here's the real question, right? This is the burning question. This is the question that everybody probably has on their mind. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Dramatic pause for effect. To pray in the Spirit is to rely on the Spirit as we pray. That's it. To pray in the Spirit is to rely on the Spirit as we pray. There's no magical formula. There's no, you know, you got to hold your hands just right and ask just right. No, it's just rely on the Spirit as you pray. That's it. Now, that's simple, but hard for us to do, right? In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and they are a mess. And one of the reasons that they're a mess is because they're relying on doing something to their bodies that they think will make them right with God, when God says, no, 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 that's not what it's all about. And in Galatians 3, Paul actually says, you began with the Spirit, and now you think that by doing this stuff that you're going to be right with God? That doesn't make any sense. And so in Galatians 5, he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, rely on the Spirit. You trust in the Spirit. You look to the Spirit for help. You look to the Spirit for empowerment. And that is what helps you not to gratify those sinful desires. Now, let me ask you, how many of us in our fight against sin, and that's assuming that we're fighting, have made great progress? Especially when we said, I'm going to do it on my own. I got this. Yeah, you got this certain sin that's in your life, and you've been battling it for a long time. Maybe, possibly, the problem is you got too much of you battling and not enough of walking by the Spirit. It's possible. Or think about this other part of Scripture. We read this earlier in the beginning of the sermon about from Romans 8, where Paul says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, right? And is there anyone who thinks that they are like a super prayer warrior who is like always on their knees praying, and, you know, people could learn how to pray from me? Is there anybody who feels that way? If so, I want to talk to you because I want to know what it's like. Because I don't feel that way. I had someone this week tell me that they thought that I had a gift of prayer, and I thought, what are you talking about? I don't have a gift of prayer. Prayer is a struggle for me. It is hard. And most of the time, it's because I'm not relying on the Spirit. I'm trying to do my own thing. But this passage says that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't even know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us as with groanings too deep for words. And He searches hearts, and He knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The way I get this is I'm on my knees, and I'm praying, and I'm saying stupid stuff. And the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, that's not really what you want to pray about. You know, here's what's better. You know, like He's my interpreter, you know. I'm saying gobbledygook, and He's like, okay, I think what Stuart's really trying to say is, I know that's probably not exactly how it works, but that's the way it goes on in my mind. As one writer put it, prayer is not simply our cry of desperation, although it is that, or our grocery list of requests that we bring before our Heavenly Father. Prayer is an activity inspired by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. It is God siding with His people, and by His own empowering presence, the Spirit of God Himself bringing forth prayer that is in keeping with God's will and His ways. In other words, prayer begins and ends with God, and even in the middle, there's God the Holy Spirit. So rely on the Holy Spirit when you pray. That's what that is. Now, sometimes that is a little like ethereal. It's kind of abstract. Okay, what does it mean to rely on the Holy Spirit? I want to give a brief illustration to try to help us with this. I don't know if any of you are sailors. You know, you go out on a sailboat. If so, forgive me that I am not a sailor, and I may get some of this wrong, but at least this makes sense to me, and you can correct me afterwards if I'm incorrect. But imagine being in a sailboat out in the middle of the ocean, all right? There's no wind blowing, and not even a gentle breeze, and you put up the sail, and then you get behind the sail, and you work yourself up, and then you start blowing. How far do you think that boat's going to go? Probably not very far at all, right? That's kind of how we are with prayer. We get down on our knees or however whatever mode we pray through, and we have good intentions, we make commitments to pray, we think, you know, we set aside times to pray. We fervently try to produce the right emotions and whatever in the wind to move us in the right direction, and we end up feeling discouraged and tired and frustrated and useless. Can I get a witness? I mean, has anybody felt that? We need to rely, when we're sailing, we need to rely on the wind, not our own power. So we put that sail up. Now, some of us, again, using the same illustration, some of us, we get tired and frustrated trying to do it on our own, and we just say, oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll just take the sail down and just sit here and float. Again, you're not going to get very far. You're definitely not going to get where you should be going. Imagine you're in that sailboat and the wind is actually blowing and you're going, nah, I'd rather do it on my own, and you take the sail down. That's a lot like us in prayer too. Or maybe we pray, but we're just still trying to do it all on our own. So what does relying on the Spirit looks like? First of all, it looks like it's believing in the Spirit. Believing that the Spirit is at work even when it doesn't look like it. Holy Spirit, You are at work even when it doesn't look like it. Again, back to the sailboat illustration. When you're sailing in the ocean, it can seem like you're not moving, even when you have your sail up. and the wind is blowing, but actually you are moving, just little bit by little bit. Doesn't seem like it because you're in the middle of the ocean, so you look around, you don't have any land to see, am I moving this way or that way? But because the wind is blowing, you are moving. And that is a lot of the way that the Spirit moves in our lives. We're looking for hurricane force winds to try to move us from A to Z, just like that. And most of the time, the Holy Spirit is moving us from A to B, or maybe A and a half. I guess that's not really a thing. I should have used numbers. But somewhere in between A and B, just little step by little step, that's a lot of how the Spirit works. And second, not only is it believing that the Spirit is at work, it's asking for help. In our prayer time on this morning, and I invite you, we do have a Zoom prayer time. If you haven't been to that, please join us. It's a great time of prayer. I've been very encouraged hearing my brothers and sisters praying during that time. But during that time, we prayed this morning, and we read from James where it says, "You have not because you ask not." A lot of times we don't have the power of the Spirit working in us in our prayers, guiding us in our prayers, because we just don't ask. In other words, it's like being in that sailboat again, and the wind doesn't seem to be blowing, so you give up and you say, who cares? No, put the sail up. Say, Holy Spirit, help me as I pray. Holy Spirit, give me the power to pray. Holy Spirit, guide me in my prayer. I need you to help me in this because I can't do it on my own. We admit our weakness, we admit our sin, and we admit our need for the Holy Spirit to move us. That's what it means to rely on the Spirit. So last 2 weeks, I've done an action point. Here's my action point for you this week. I bet you can figure it out before I even say it. The action point for this week's sermon, as you pray, ask for the Spirit's help and empowerment. That's it. When you pray, pray, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Empower me as I pray. That's it. That's it. And then watch what happens. There's some of you are real big Super Bowl fans, but you don't watch Super Bowl because of the game. You watch it because of the commercials. And back in 2011, there was this really cute commercial about it's a Volkswagen commercial, I believe, where a child dressed as Darth Vader. Do you remember? Any of you remember this? A child dressed as Darth Vader, and he's walking through the house trying to use the Force on everything around. And he walks up to a dryer and he like does his hands like this and the dryer doesn't come on. And then he walks over to the dog and the dog is lying in his bed and he like does like that and the dog just kind of looks at him like, I'm not doing anything. And then, he goes into maybe his sister's room or something and there's a doll on the bed and he like does like this and he's like, and the doll doesn't do anything. And so he's sitting in his kitchen, he's looking dejected, you know, he's got his hand on his head like this, and his father drives home, of course, in a Volkswagen, and he gets out of the car, and the kid has this idea, I'm going to go out to the car, and I'm going to do the Force on the car, and the car's going to do something. So he runs out, and there's this car there, and he goes, and nothing happens until suddenly the lights come on, and the engine comes on, and he stumbles back like that, and he looks around like, what just happened? And of course, you know, inside, his dad has the key fob in his hand, and he's just pressed the turn on engine button, and he winks at his wife because it's cute, right? I would love for Westminster Presbyterian to be like that kid when we start praying and the Holy Spirit's got the key fob and goes, all right, you prayed for my help, you prayed for my empowerment, here it happens, boom. And then we see something and we go, whoa, what just happened? I would love for that to be the case. That's what I'm going to be praying for us this week as I pray in the Spirit. So watch out. Who knows what's going to happen? So, folks, let's grow in praying in the Spirit. It's not some mystery. It's just the way prayer really works. Let's grow in praying in the Spirit. Let me pray for us that we will. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Empower us to pray. We need you. We need you to work in our hearts and our minds and our souls. We need to be cleansed from the inside out. We need help to believe. We need help to pray. We need help to obey. We need help. Without you, we are really unable to do anything that is spiritually good. So, Holy Spirit, would you please work in us that we would learn what it means to pray in the Spirit. We want to pray in you. We want to pray in a way where we see the power of Jesus' resurrection unleashed in our lives. And yes, we know that that may be small or it may be large, but we are willing to put ourselves out there and see what you'll do. Please help us in this. And Jesus, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for making us yours and sealing the deal by giving us the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you so much for these promises that you've given to us in your word. Will you help us to live by them, by your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen.